did much more abound. Amen. Praise the Lord for the saving grace of Christ. Man, what a good thing. Mark chapter 10 tonight. Appreciate Victor Martinez donating a tie to me. He left his tie at my house, I think, or somehow it ended up in our possession. And the tie I wore to church tonight, or today, didn't match as well as his tie. So instead of returning it, I borrowed it. So let me just say I got a lot of nice comments about my tie today, Victor. So there you are. Appreciate that. Mark chapter 10. Over the next 3 weeks, our church schedule looks like this. Vacation Bible School, teen camp, and then junior camp. We make a large investment in our young people. And I don't think it's misguided. I think young people are worthwhile. We were just at a Bible conference there in Toledo, Ohio. And the preacher got up and he was talking about himself. And he said, I don't like two things, children and old people. Yeah. And he said he would just kick kids. Say, that's a preacher. Well, the Lord changed his heart. I mean, you got to hear the whole story. But that is not the case. We love our kids. When I say our kids, I'm not just talking about five kids that bear my last name. I'm talking about your kids. All our kids. And you say, where do you get that from? Well, Christ. Christ loved children. Mark chapter 10 and verse 13, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, it says, and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the what we would consider childish songs, but Lord, thank you for the message that's in them. Lord, we're thankful for, again, the opportunity to be able to have Vacation Bible School this week and teen camp and junior camp. And Lord, as we actively invest in our children, Lord, I pray that you'd bless. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are. We claim your promises, we claim your truths and your principles, and God, we just we turn our children over to you. God, you'd handle them and care for them and touch their hearts and, Lord, work in their lives. Lord, again, I'm thankful for this church and so many people that are so committed to young people. Lord, I again ask that you'd bless service here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning's message had three pages. Tonight, half a page. So I'm just giving you an update. Maybe that'll encourage you. Mark chapter 10 and verse 13 again. We're going to read 13 and 14. And they brought young children to him. And a parallel passage in, I think it's in Matthew. No, it's in Luke. It says that they brought infants. The word infant is used. If you're familiar with infants, those are the little ones in the last room on the left. There's a age that infants are. It's usually around 2 or 3. They describe that age period as the terrible twos. Is that correct? Remember terrible twos? Ooh. Terrible twos last about 4 years. Yeah. Brother Rodell's got a couple in that window. You know, when I read the first verse in verse 13, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them, I go, why would they do that? And then I read the other passage where it says, not just young children, but infants. Hey, get these babies out of here. He's trying to do miracles. He's trying to work with those that can understand. He's trying to work with those that And not only were there young children, but there were infants in the group. I dare say I would probably be guilty of the same thing. Hey, no, I don't even understand this stuff. Get them out of here. But God had an incredible value upon children. We see that in verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. He stops them. He corrects them openly. That must have been humbling to the disciples. That must have been humbling for the disciples to be rebuked by Christ about how they're handling children. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Ever get upset with something and you just can't, you just got to say something? Well, Christ in his perfect way, and his perfect way of not being angry and sinning, but he was just displeased with the situation. He stopped what he was doing and said unto them, hey, wait a second, let's stop for a second. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not. I like Sunday night services. Why? Well, I like Sunday morning services and Wednesday night services. But there's something special about Wednesday or Sunday night when we can have everyone all together. Sure. Kids. Yep. Now, I understand there's a place for the nursery. I get it. And I understand, you know, mothers and they need to do certain things. And I'm in favor of that. I'm glad we're not changing diapers in the front. I'm happy about it. I'm happy. It's not the bad kids that trouble us. It's the beautifully cute kids, right? Their parents holding, and that little kid looks back. Preacher, repent! Right? That's a distraction. So we get those out of here. But I like Sunday night. Why? We have everyone come together. We forbid them not. Christ puts a value on children. Here he says that he suffered them to come to him. He had a place for children. Don't speak until you're spoken to. Christ says, you adults go over there. Come here, kids. What's going on with your life? Tell me about you. Tell me what's going on. Come unto me, he says. Hey, we make an invitation to adults all the time to get saved. Can I encourage you, young person? Hey, if you're understanding of what it means to be saved, why don't you come unto Christ? Yep. Here, he gives the invitation. Child, come unto me. The Lord bids, because there's a value in children. In Psalm 127, go there. We'll look at a few verses here tonight. Point number one, Roy, the value of children. Christ saw the value of children. In Psalm 127 and verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Except the Lord build the house. In verse 3, well, we'll read verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. You know what he just said? Children have value. Each of them. Special children. Little children. Big children. They have value to God. We don't go down the hall and say, well, kindergarten's more valuable than teenage. No. God says children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. He says that children are a blessing. God places value on children. I don't know what you would consider valuable in your life. Maybe it's a vehicle. Maybe it's a house. Maybe it's even money. Whatever it is. God says, children. Children are valuable. If we invest in children, we're investing in something that God is pleased with. How would you like to be the disciples where God pushed away and said, I am displeased with you for how they handled the kids? I don't want that. I don't want that about my life. I don't want to do anything that displeases God. But here we have something very blatant, very, very exact. He loved those kids. And to him they had value. Look at Genesis 33. I loved this verse here. Genesis 33. I'm going to read five verses. The value of children. They had a place at Jesus' feet. They were an heritage. And thirdly, they're a gift. In Genesis 33, Jacob and Esau did not necessarily get along well. Remember that? And Jacob ran for his life, and now he's coming back to meet Esau. And this is Genesis 33. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel, and under the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. So he's trying to send out a wave to see how things go. Here's my handmaid and their kids. Are they still moving? And to him he put the most valuable closest to him. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. Must have looked ridiculous, right? Here he is coming to Esau, Jacob, and every so often he drops to the ground, bows himself, does that seven times before he even gets to him. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him. How do you think that was? Here comes Esau with 400 guys running at you. Why are they not together? Because Jacob was shady, to say the least. And here comes Esau running. Prepare for impact, right? And embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And look at his response. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are those with thee? And he said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. What do we give? We give gifts. Children are a gift. Jacob acknowledges it. He defines his children as the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Hey, who are these? Oh, these are my rugrats. These are a pain in the neck. I cannot stand this one. This one's great. Here, let me introduce you to this one. No. No, look at the gifts that God has given us. Look at the value that he has placed on children. They had a place at the feet of Christ. He announces them as an heritage of the Lord. And thirdly, he defines them as a gracious gift. God placed value on children. And so should we. No matter how they get here. You understand what I'm saying? Whether they come in a van or a car or by helicopter or bus. Horse. We were driving through Hamlin the other day. We were getting ready for the parade and I was held up at the light because two horses were in front of me. Not quite the get up and go as I would like. I missed the turn. If you can get here on a horse, great. I don't care how the kids get here. They're our kids. And they have value. Do you understand that the ones that they brought to Christ in that passage, they needed something. They weren't the ruler's kids. They weren't the educated kids. Hey, they needed some stuff. They maybe had some medical issues. Maybe they were a little behind. Maybe they were blind or deaf or whatever it was. But when they came to Christ, and that's why they decided, get these ones out of here. He said, no, bring them close. You know what? You know what kids that maybe have some special needs, end up lacking a loving touch. They don't get cuddled. They don't get held. They don't get listened to. But Christ listened to them. Because to Him, they had value. Point number two. Go back to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. In verse 15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. He saw something in them that was special. What we would call a childlike faith. And children are great. You know why? Unless we break them or mess them up, they trust us. They trust us. Until we give them reason not to trust us, they will trust us. That's childlike faith. They have no reason not to trust. Tomorrow, however many kids show up here, for the most part, if I ask them, do you trust God with your life? They'll say yes. 100%. And Christ says this, hey, you know what we need in our churches a little bit? Is some people that just trust me like these little kids do. 100%. Point number two, the childlike faith of children. Kids are great. They're honest. I don't know if this is right to even say, but I'm just being... we'll be driving home some Sunday afternoon, and so I'll ask the boys or whatever, hey, how did service go today? It's tough to tell from this end, you know? They're honest. Sometimes too honest, Brother Sutliff. We've been in Walmart with our little kids, and if you've ever seen maybe somebody that shops at Walmart or whatever, there's sometimes interesting characters. Mommy, that let... What they were about to say is honest. But as we learned this past week, inappropriate. I love honest questions from kids. For the most part, they're pure. They ask honestly and they ask openly. They don't care who's around. They might want clarification or... But they have childlike faith. Hey, imagine if we came to the Lord like that. God, do you see something that ought not to be in my life? Asking honestly, openly. Children ask vulnerably. Say, what do you mean by that? They ask expecting you to have an answer. They acknowledge that they don't know. Sometimes they have hard questions. Hey, Dad, why is the sky blue and the grass green? That's an excellent question, son. I don't know. But they expected me to know. I mean, yes, we can talk about it. But they ask expecting answers. Hey, imagine if we came to the Lord asking for Him to respond, not for us to just tell Him how it goes. God, here's how you need to handle this situation. Here, God, is how you need to make my life better. Here's, God, what I actually need. No, a child comes dependent, vulnerable. See, we see vulnerability as a weakness, right? By connotation, it's a negative word. To be vulnerable means to be susceptible to harm. But as a child, to be vulnerable means to be dependent. If we just took a child and just left it on its own, I mean, in a couple weeks, Miss Kathy's going to have maybe less than a couple weeks. We're hoping, right? Are we hoping for a couple weeks or do we want 2 weeks?
I'm ready to go.
Ready to go. So anytime now that baby comes, boom. I'm sure it'll make it. I'm sure it'll be fine. No, it is vulnerable. It is dependent. It expects responses from a parent. Imagine if we approach the Lord like that. Vulnerable, dependent, expecting Him to work in our life. Hey, these kids were onto something. As a little child with childlike faith, that's asking honestly, asking openly, asking vulnerably, asking trustingly. Is that a word? It is now. Asking trustingly expects that parents will have what's best. As we ask the Lord, we expect that He will give us what's best. To have faith and trust the Lord. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Those are strong words, isn't it? He says, you better learn how to get humble like this little one. I wonder what one he was talking about when he was holding him or her. Could have been a leper. Could have been a blind one. Someone that was maybe deaf, or maybe someone that was lacking. Maybe someone that couldn't speak. And he was telling these wise men, because who's in the crowd? It's the Pharisees there. The keepers of the law. He said, you better be like these ones. Honest, open, vulnerable, and completely trusting. It's a shame if a child can't trust a parent. That's a problem on the parent. It's a shame for a Christian to not trust the Lord. That's a problem on the Christian. Because the Lord has never given us any reason not to trust Him. Lastly, Mark chapter 10 and verse 16. And He took them up in His arms and He put His hands upon them and blessed them. Children have needs. We acknowledge that. How do you know? Well, Miss Kiana just came back in with Chloe. Chloe had a need. Probably involved the bathroom or a drink or something. But all children need something. They need multiple things. Look at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. We know the verse, right? Train up a child in the way he should go. You know what that means? Children need what? Training. Training. Children need training. They've got to have it. Training. That's on us as parents. The commandments to parents. I cannot expect my child to train himself. I cannot expect my daughters to train themselves. They need someone to show them the way. First, we saw the value of children. Secondly, we saw the childlike faith of children. Thirdly, we'll see the needs of children. They need training. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. They need training. They need to be trained to obey. That word strikes fear in children. Children, obey your parents in all things. It ought not to strike fear, because children ought to trust their parents. And as parents train their children, it is for their betterment. And it won't be too long after. God has a great way of teaching lessons far exceeding what you and I could ever teach. So as we teach this or train in this lesson, God seems to bring about circumstances that reinforce those lessons. He does it all the time. We go through great efforts. We're trying to explain these things. And God will go hand in hand with what we're trying to do as we accompany the Word of God in our teaching and training. And it's not too long after that that all of a sudden real life circumstance happens or comes to manifestation of what we were just saying. And God does that. Only God does things like that. So as we try and teach obedience, maybe there's some disobedience. And as a child, they don't quite understand it, didn't understand the circumstance, didn't understand what was going on, whatever the circumstance was, but it's not going to be too long after that where they will see the blessing in obedience. God does not allow too far off the instruction being separated from the blessing. He's great like that. He shows us the value of it. So it is in our life. As we make decisions, can I tell you how many times have we made a decision at the altar here? Come down, made a decision about Bible reading or prayer, and within moments, all of a sudden, there's an answer to prayer. It's like the Lord, hey, see, didn't I want to show you that? I want to teach you a lesson. You trusted me, and now here's the blessing of that. Tonight we'll go home or tomorrow morning before you go to work and say, God, please put someone in my path. And then sure enough, by 10 o'clock, someone comes by and says, hey, how was church this weekend? I've been thinking about going, and how was your church? What on earth? Where did that come from? As we try to instruct in training and obedience to our children, God brings about real life circumstances to reinforce those things. And He doesn't separate the teaching or training too far from the blessings. He keeps them close to help them, encourage them. See, because as much as you love your children, God loves them even more. We have to remember that. The needs of children, they need training, they need obedience. Mark chapter 10 and verse 16, we see this. We were at that passage. I mentioned this slightly already. And He took them up in His arms, and He put His hands upon them and blessed them. You know what children need? They need to be loved. They need to be loved. They need to be held. Now I understand there comes a day when you can't hold them as much. My oldest son is 15 and I'm still thankful when he comes by when it's bedtime, gives me a hug around my neck and tells me that he loves me and goes to bed. Children need that. Christ is teaching us. He took them up in His arms and put His hands upon them and blessed them. Hey, your kids need to be loved. When you send them to Lake Ontario Baptist Academy, you know what? We do our best to love them, care for them. Now, we don't put our hands on them, but we certainly do love them. When 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or Blake, 100 maybe show up this week, I need you to help me all get 100 kids here. Pray them in, do whatever. Every single one needs the exact same thing. They need training and they need love. And that's what Vacation Bible School is. Try and help them with those things. When they walk into the classroom with a room full of strangers, it's amazing. By day two, I can honestly say I care for that child. They need to be loved. In 3 John, I have no greater joy than to know that my children, what? Walk in truth. Children need training. They need obedience. They need to be loved. They have the need for truth. What you speak to your children is important. What we teach them in the classrooms is important. What they learn around your table is important. And it better be truth. Because if they grow up and come to find out that the things that they've been taught are not true, that's tough. You're going to have a rough go. Because then they'll call into question everything that you've taught. Children need truth. And the Bible says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. How did they get the truth? By us giving it to them. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, second to last verse. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Not only do children need training, not only do they need to learn obedience, not only do they need to be loved, not only do they need instructions of truth, but they need salvation. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. How many got saved? Oh, I don't know. 10 and under. Anybody? Raise your hand. 10 and under. It's possible, right? Thank you. That's why we have Sunday school classes. Not just to keep them busy while you're in service. No, we have those classes to teach them the Holy Scriptures. Why? Because it will lead them to salvation. Is there a greater message than salvation? If a child gets but one message... Benjamin, come up here. Stand right here. Just stand right there. If he learns only one thing in his whole entire life, that he's a sinner in need of a Savior, I'm okay with that. But if we're not teaching those things, if we're not putting them in a place, if we're not going to get kids to be able to hear the salvation message, we're doing it wrong. I know we're not going up to Christ and moving the kids away and saying, hey, get away from him. That's for the adults. But if we don't actively go out and seek children to bring to Christ, he is most displeased. Do we reach adults? Yes. Do we reach old adults? Yes. Young adults? Yes. And children. Man, you're getting tall. And the scripture says this. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This one here. Are you saved, Benjamin?
Yes.
Great. What day of the week was it?
Wednesday.
Okay, that's it. I'm good. He got saved on a Wednesday. We got some Wednesdayers. Team Wednesday. How did that happen? Because someone taught him the scriptures, and he was wise enough to trust Christ. I'm glad someone brought him. I'm glad someone taught him. Thank you, Benjamin. And there's a room full of kids that got in. And there's a world full of kids that need it yet. What do children need? They need training. They need obedience. They need to be loved. They need the truth. And they need salvation. Yes, it's possible for a child to get saved. Say, I doubt it. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. James chapter 5 and verse 20. Last verse. James 5:20. Let him know that he which... James 5:20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. When's the best day to get saved? Yesterday. As soon as possible. The sooner you get saved, the quicker the Holy Spirit of God can begin to work in your life and hide a multitude of sins. We raised our hands of how many got saved at the age of 10 or under. Hands all over. How many of you got saved and you wish you got saved a little bit younger than what you were? Why? Because it would have hidden a multitude of sins. There's a benefit. There's a benefit of VBS. Say, what's with the big ball? It's just to get kids to come. What's the deal with the tents? Just to get kids to come. Bucket of slime. Say, what does that have to do with salvation? Show me the verse. It's just to give them a chance to hear the gospel. It's that maybe they come and see and they invite a friend. And now we got two that have never heard the gospel that are going to hear it. Camp again? How many weeks till they get back from camp this year and it starts to wear off? You bite your tongue in half. Comments like that, I believe the Lord is displeased. How many chances for us? Has He been most gracious with us? How many times have we come to this old-fashioned altar and confessed our sins and within hours have gone back to it? But yet we still come. So we'll still do camp. Oh, it's just an emotional high. Yeah, it gets the kids out of the world for a week. Puts them under preaching. Introduces them to Christian friends. Is it perfect? No. But it's an opportunity to hide a multitude of sins. The week after, we have junior camp. That's where we send the little ones. Little ones at camp? Let's just be careful that we're loving the things that God loves. And He loved the little kids. He brought them unto Him, sat them on His lap, He touched them, and it says that He blessed them. Christ and the children. Children have value. Childlike faith of a child. Thirdly, the need of children. Let's all stand. I know we started our service with prayer for Vacation Bible School. Can we include camps? Can we come and spend some time in prayer for maybe someone that you've invited? Maybe a child, maybe a person that you've been working on. Pray for a young man named Carter, neighbor to the Rices. What was the young man's name that was here in your class, Jay, today? Was it Andrew? No. Richard? Richard. Pray for Richard. So how did he get here? He was friends with the Martinez, right? He rode the bus with you. Think of these names. Think of your neighborhood kids. Think of the kids' friends. Think about all the VBS flyers that we handed out this past weekend. All the invites to church. I don't know. Maybe someone's going to come. I want you to pray for two kids. Ran into their mom on Saturday. Easy names. Nicholas and Sophie. Easy for me to remember. 5 and 6-year-old. Pray they come on Wednesday to VBS. In a moment, the music's going to play. Let's pray for our kids. All of our kids. Not just the ones that bear our last name. Christ placed value on children. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless this time of invitation. Lord, help us to love the things that you love. Lord, help us to be invested in the things that you are invested in. Lord, I don't want you to be displeased with my actions and my attitude towards something you valued. Lord, help us. Help us this next few weeks. Lord, do a great work. I know the attack of the devil is going to be strong. I know the attack of the enemy is going to throw out distractions that have not been there before. But Lord, I pray you'd supersede over those things, that you'd be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message tonight? Praying for VBS. Praying for teen camp. Praying for junior camp. Praying for our teenagers. Praying for our young adults. Praying for the little nursery ones. Praying for the neighborhood kids. Praying for the kids that come in on the bus. Praying for your grandchildren. That he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Has no age restriction there. And shall hide a multitude of sins. There's a benefit in investing in the hearts and lives of children. Hey, if you're a VBS worker, why don't you come and pray for those kids that are going to come into your classroom. Say, I don't know who they are. Pray for them anyways. Pray that God give you the right heart, the right spirit. If you're a camp counselor, why don't you come and pray for those kids that are probably struggling with something this week you have no idea about.
No, it's not the typical decorations, and I say I was really happy that something touched my head. It made me feel tall. We put a lot of effort and stuff into these decorations. If you could please not touch them, not mess with them. Enjoy the uniforms that are on your way out, but please don't touch them, don't mess with them, all right? Some have been around for some years. Brother, you still have that picture? Man. He's got a... Get over to Brother Sutliff. He's got a picture of him and Mrs. Sutliff when they got married. How many years ago? 42 years. Tuesday. Man, 42 years. Awesome. So he's got it in his pocket. Or had it in his pocket. It's in the other pocket. It's right there, pocket. And in that uniform. Awesome. Proof. Proof that it fit at one point. And I appreciate those that brought those things in. We're gonna keep the kids away, but enjoy it and just pray for the things that happen in the classrooms, the lessons that are taught. And maybe one will be drawn to Christ and make a decision for that. That's what we're praying for. Rick Seaton III, will you dismiss us in prayer tonight? Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.